Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paraja Kacharya Astotar Sita Sushinath. His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jan Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paraja Kacharya Astotar Sita Sushinath. Shri Guru Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Kijai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. From Zikosha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srila Sadi Guru Bhaktivedanta Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Gita Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadvip Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai Jamunamaya Gangamaya Kijai Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai The Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dorkadish Kijai The Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Srimati Subhadra Kijai The Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitaya Kijai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai Harinam Sankirtan Jirga Kijai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai, Gaur Pramananda Haribol. All glorious to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Yeah, just put it on full screen. You got it? Yeah. No, put it on full screen. There you go. Thank you. Jai. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the third canto, chapter 15. We're on text number 27. And today... We're going to discuss Vaikuntha Doorman, how they were cursed, Jai and Vijay. They were cursed to take three births as demons, and actually they took four births, and the fourth birth as devotees. So this is like the prelude to the two demons taking birth as Hiranyakashipu and... Who's the other one? Hiranyaksha. So, dive into the verse. Tasmin aticha munayo sadasa jamanai. Kakshay samana vyayasavata saptamayam. Deva vachaksata grihita gada parardya. Keyuda kundala kirita vitanka vesha. Tasmin atitya munayo sadasa jamanai. Kaksa samana vyasav ata saptamayam. Deva vachaksata grihita gadau parardya. Keyura kundala kirita vitanka vesha. Tasmin atitya munayo sadasaja manai. Kaksa samana vayasavata saptamayam. Deva vachaksata grihita kadau parardya. Keyura kundala kirita vatanka vesha. Tasmin atitya munaya sadasa jamana. Chacha satamana. Tasmin atitya munaya sadasa jamana. Chaksa samana vesavata tasmana. Devava chaksata grihita kada paradya. Keruya kundita karita vatanka vesha. Vaishnavis. Asmi matita manasa sajamana. Tasmin atitya munaya sadasa jamana. Chaksa samana vayasamana saptamayam. Devava chaksata grihita kata parada. Keyura kundala kirita vatanka vesha. Tasmin. In that Vaikuntha, atitya, after passing through Munaya, the great sages, sat, 6. Asajamana. Without being much attracted. Kaksha. Walls. Samana. Equal. Vayasau. Age. Ata. Thereafter. Saptamayam. At the seventh gate. Devau. To Vaikuntha doormen. Achaksata. Sa. Grita. Caring. Gadao. Maces. Parardya. Most valuable. Keura. Bracelets. Kundala. Earrings. Kirita. Helmets. Vitanka. Beautiful. Vesau. Garments. Translation. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikuntha Puri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. Purport. The sages were so eager to see the Lord within Vaikuntha Puri that they did not care to see the transcendental decorations of the six gates, which they passed one after another. But at the seventh door, they found two doormen of the same age. The significance of the doormen's being of the same age is that in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no old age. So one cannot distinguish who is older than whom. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha are decorated like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma, conch, wheel, club, and lotus. Jai Om Gyanat Manandasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshasun Manitamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Slapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupagadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhishtra Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikuntha Puri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with the most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. So here we're to see the devotees actually carry the same weapons as Vishnu. So they look very similar to Vishnu. So you can see he has four hands. He's carrying the Shankha Chakra, and in two hands the Gada Padma. So the Shankha and the Padma is for the devotees, and the Gada and Chakra for the demons. And then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yadahi Paritanaya Sarunam Vinasa Cha Duskritam, that he has got two businesses. What is that? To give protection to the devotee and to kill the demons. But the result is one, he does good to the demons by killing them, and he does good to the devotees by giving them protection. So the symbols and the conch, the lotus club, the wheel, they can be either held in his hands or they can be seen on the palms of his hands. So, and many great personalities, they actually, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they have these symbols on their hands. And even the soles of the lotus feet of Krishna are marked with the Shankha, Chakra, Padma, and Gada, this conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. And also by sometimes a flag, a thunderbolt. And so when Krishna walks the earth, or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible wherever he goes. So there's a nice prayer by the residents of Dwarka. They said, Narayana Namaste Stu Shankar Chakra Garadara Damodara Vindaksha Govinda Yaru Nandana. This is what the residents of Dwarka said. Obeisances unto you, O Narayan, O holder of the conch, disc, and club, O lotus eyed Damodar, O Govinda, O cherished descendant of Yadu. So they were glorifying Krishna. But it also describes here that sometimes he displays eight arms. So he carries the conch, disc, club, lotus flower. And even the lotus flower, you know, can be used as a weapon. Because Krishna is the supreme controller, and whatever's in his hand, he can use it as a weapon. We saw even Lord Balaram with the blade of grass, he killed Ramaharshana. So, so there's other items you can see. He carries an arrow, a bow, trident, and a snake. He actually carries a snake. And sometimes you see here a sword and a shield. And here's a nice prayer from the sixth canto. And this is what the Yamadutas, when they saw the Vishnu Dutas, they're saying, your eyes are just like petals of a lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears. You all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. This is when he was fighting the demons. That just zoomed in on Vishnu here. So the story goes, we know Lord Brahma is the first created being. And then the four Kumaras were created from Lord Brahma's mind, the Manasa Sutra. And so this chapter, as we said, is a prelude to the birth of these two demons. So we see after they were born, Lord Brahma thought that they were going to help him in, you know, populating the universe, but they refused. So he got mad, and then you can see he produced Lord Shiva from his anger. So we see that. So here, Jai and Vijay, they're actually responsible for not allowing any unqualified people in Vaikuntha. So by divine arrangement, they stopped these wandering naked children. And Krishna, there's actually, you know, this divine arrangement. He's the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows everybody's heart. And he detected that Jai and Vijay wanted to give the experience of Vira, the pleasure of fighting, to Krishna. That's the indirect expression of ecstatic love, which is impossible in Vaikuntha because everything there is, you know, peaceful, mellow. But they thought the Lord is being deprived of this mellow of Vira. So they had that desire. So Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. So he made this arrangement. So supposedly these four Kumaras, they cursed these Jai and Vijay. So in the sixth canto, there's a nice purport here from from the prayers of the Yamadutas. Prabhupada says here, the residents of Vaikuntha who are decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments have four arms holding various weapons. Thus they conspicuously resemble Lord Vishnu. They have the same bodily features as Narayan because they have attained the liberation of Sarupya. But they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha know perfectly well that their master is Narayan or Krishna and that they are his servants. They are all self-realized souls who are nitya mukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they could conceivably declare themselves Narayan or Vishnu, they never do so. They always remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha Loka. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of Lord Krishna throughout the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha Loka and have nothing to do with the material world. So that's from the sixth canto. So, talking about the indirect expressions of ecstatic love. So we have different ones, and I'll just go through those very quickly, just to show that this is actually bona fide. But sure, first we have laughter, and in the Nectar Devotion it talks about that, how after, this is interesting, Krishna had just stolen some yogurt and from the pots of the gopis, and then Krishna told one of his gopi friends, he said, "My dear beautiful friend, I can take an oath that I have not stolen even a drop of yogurt from your pot, but still your friend Radharani is very shamelessly smelling the fragrance of my mouth. Kindly forbid her from this devious policy of putting her face near mine." So when Krishna was speaking like this, the friends of Radharani could not check their laughter. And this is an instance of ecstatic love in laughter. And then we have astonishment. And then once Lord Brahma was watching all the cows and cowherd boys dressed in yellow garments and decorated with valuable jewels, the boys, all the cowherd boys, were expanded into these Vishnu forms. And that's when Lord Brahma became astonished. And then now we have the shivery. So this is that vira. So one time on the bank of the Jamuna, there was a crackling sound of dry leaves, giggling from the cowherd boys and thundering from the sky. And what was happening, Sridham was tightening his belt to fight with Krishna, you know, the conqueror of the demon Aga. And this is an instance of shivery and ecstatic love. So like, this is what Jaya and Vijaya, they wanted to experience that with the Lord. So then it goes on to lamentation. And there's different stories it describes in the Nectar Devotion relating to all these different indirect expressions of ecstatic love. So there's anger. You can have anger. And then there's ghastliness. And that's interesting. And so there's so many things. And then dread. So this is the things. So regarding chivalry, there's many examples given. There's a whole chapter practically in the Nectar Devotion on chivalry. And so just getting back to this thing with Sridham, just to kind of illustrate that a little bit. So Krishna and Sridham were very intimate friends, yet Sridham, out of anger with Krishna, challenged him. When both of them began to fight, all the friends on the bank of the Jamuna enjoyed the wonderful fighting of the two friends. They prepared some arrows for mock fighting, and Krishna began to throw his arrows at Sridham. Sridham began to block these arrows by whirling his pole. And by Sridham's frivolous activities, Krishna became very satisfied. Such mock fighting generally takes place among frivolous persons and creates wonderful excitement for all viewers. So there's many different examples throughout all the Vedic literatures of this one expression of ecstatic love, chivalry. So we don't have time to go through all that. There's like a whole chapter in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 46. So here we see they're taking the birth as the demons to give this fight with Krishna. So this is, they appeared in Satya Yuga as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So Prabhupada writes how since the beginning of creation, the demons and the demigods, or the Vaishnavas, are always the two classes of living beings to dominate the planets of the universe. So Lord Brahma is the first demigod, and Hiranyaksha is the first demon of this universe. Only under certain conditions do planets float as weightless balls in the air. And as soon as these conditions are disturbed, the planets may fall down into the Garbhodak ocean, which covers half the universe. And the other half is the spherical dome within which the innumerable planetary systems exist. So what happened is Hiranyaksha, he disturbed this balance, and because he was taking all the gold from the earth and it fell down into the thing. So Krishna came and killed him in his form. You know, Keshavadrita Sukararupa Jaya Jagadish Hare. So it came in the form of this boar, you know, so like that. So Hiranyakashipu, we know he underwent so many austerities, you know, severe types of penance just to become eternal in life. But his worshipful deity, Lord Brahma, could not satisfy him with those blessings. So therefore, Vishnu and nobody else is called Muktapada, or the personality of whom can bestow mukti upon anyone. So in the 14th incarnation, Lord appeared as Nrisingadev and bifurcated the strong body of this atheist, Hiranyakashipu, with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces Cain. So in the same way. So this is, we read about these throughout the pastimes of the Bhagavatam. So in Treta Yuga, they appeared as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And Prabhupada writes that although a responsible man in the administration of the state is required to be saintly, he shouldn't be cowardly. So he used Lord Ram as an example, who is so saintly that people, even now, they're anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Ram. And that's Ram Raja. But Lord Ram never showed any cowardice. So this Ravana was an aggressor against Ram. And because he kidnapped his wife, he gave him sufficient lessons, which are unparalleled in the history of the world. And this Kumbhakarna, we see, you know, what can you say about him? But anyway, we chant, dance, and take rest, but we shouldn't rest like Kumbhakarna. He sleeps for 12 years at a time, you know, just to appease his body. So that's, we'll just say a little bit about every one of these. So in Dwarpa Yuga, these demons appeared as Sishupal and Dantavakra. So Prabhupada writes, one devotee asked, you know, what is, he saw this Brijabasi painting, and he sent a letter to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back, and he said, yeah, this is the story when Maharaj Yudhisthira was declared king, and he was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. And in that ceremony, Krishna was elected the president to preside over the meeting. And Sishupal, you know, was a rival of Krishna, and he insulted Krishna with vile words at the seminar, at the seminary, the ceremony. So, you know, Arjuna's youngest brother, Sahadev, he was so angry that he was ready to attack Sishupal. But Krishna and Arjuna restrained him, and this is what happened. Krishna actually, he was blessed that he, you know, by his mother that, please don't kill him, you know, I know you're going to kill him, but, you know. So Krishna said, after so many times, what was it, 100 times or 1,000 times, you'd be, you know, blasphemed that, and then that was the last time, that was the last one, and then Krishna killed him with his chakra. And then there's a whole story of Dantavakra. He was also a very foolish demon, and he was so proud that he approached Krishna without any chariot or anything, just walked up, you know, like with a club, and he said, you know, he started blaspheming Krishna, and, you know, and then saying so many different things, and Krishna just came up to him and just, you know, blasted him with his club, hit him in the heart, and, you know, broke his heart in two. So there's a whole story about that too. It's in the Krishna book, describes there. And then in Kali Yuga, this is the fourth birth, they came as Jagai and Madai. So when Lord was invoking his Sudarshan chakra, you can see there, Lord Nityananda, he implored him to forgive these two brothers. And the brothers actually fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and they begged pardon for their gross behavior. So then Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda, please accept these repentant souls. And he agreed to accept them. Under one condition, though, that they henceforwardly completely give up all their sinful activities and habits of debauchery. And so both these brothers agreed, and they gave up all their sinful activities, and they never again performed them, and they became devotees. So Prabhupada writes that this is the specific kindness of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, no one can say that he is free from sin. It is impossible for anyone to say this. But Lord Chaitanya accepts all kinds of sinful persons on the one condition that they promise not to indulge in sinful habits after being spiritually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And then it continues. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam introduction, actually. And Prabhupada says, there are a number of instructive points to be observed in this incident of the two brothers. In this Kali Yuga, practically all people are of the quality of Jagai and Madai. If they want to be relieved from the reactions of their misdeeds, they must take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and after spiritual initiation, thus refrain from those things which are prohibited in the Shastras. Their prohibitory rules are dealt with in the Lord's teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami. So, let's talk about these weapons. We have the chakra. So after offering prayers to Lord's personal expansions, known as the Swamsas and Shaktivis avatars, we should actually pray to the weapons of Lord Narayan, such as the Sudarshan, the Gada, the Sankar, the Gada. So this is actually all described in the sixth canto, also in the eighth chapter. This is the Narayan Kavacha. So, and there's also a place, where is this from? This is from the 10th canto, actually. So this is Sukadeva Goswami informing Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis, they had a system to protect Krishna, their child. And this is what they said. May Aja protect your legs. May Maniman protect your knees. Yajna, your thighs. Achyuta, the upper part of your waist. And Hargriva, your abdomen. May Keshava protect your heart. Isha, your chest. The sun god, your neck, Vishnu, your arms, Urukrama, your face, and Ishvara, your head. May Chakri protect you from the front. May Shihari Gadadhar, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back. And may the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Ajana, the carrier of the sword, protect your two sides. May Lord Urugaya, the carrier of the conch shell, protect you from all corners. May Upendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haladara, the Supreme Person, protect you on all sides. This is what Prabhupada says. Or this, let's see if the Prabhupada said this one. I think he did translate this one. This is the sixth chapter. I don't know if Prabhupada left off before that. 13th. Okay, so this is Prabhupada's purport. It says, even in the houses of the cultivators, who were not very advanced in the modern ways of civilization, the ladies used to know how to chant mantras to give protection to children with the help of cow dung and cow urine. This is a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. People should know how to do this, for this is a part of Vedic civilization. So this is so important, nicely described. So this is the chakra. It's known as Sudarshan Chakra. It's there's a lot of symbolism throughout different Vedic literatures. You know, it represents the divine weapon of Vishnu, eternal cycle of time, the wheel of time. It's said to destroy the ignorance and protect the devotees. And guess what? In some millenniums, Lord Ramachandra and his brothers appear as incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And in other millenniums, they appear as incarnations of Narayan, Sesha, Chakra, and Sankha. So these are personalities, these weapons. And sometimes they appear with Krishna in his different pastimes. So this is how they appeared in Ayodhya, in Ayodhya city, to facilitate Krishna's pastimes as Lord Ram. So the gada, and this is here, it's the club. It represents divine power, the strength, the power to defeat and destroy evil forces, protect the righteous. It's a symbol of Vishnu's might and his ability to maintain cosmic order. And then the shankha, this is the conch. It represents the cosmic sound, om. The primordial sound of creation. It's a divine manifestation of the sacred syllable and represents the power of the divine cosmic vibration. So, again, it's described here that in the Padma Purana, and this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, It describes that Ramchandra is Narayan and that Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna are respectively Sesha, Chakra, and Shankha. That's the conch shell in the hand of Lord Narayan. So this is nicely described there. So it's a great personality. And then we have the Padma, the lotus. It symbolizes purity, beauty, transcendence. It represents spiritual enlightenment and the blossoming of consciousness. And the lotus is often associated with deities and represents their divine grace and transcendental nature. So we have Lord Chaitanya. He came to spread the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. And he made a prediction that this movement will spread to every town and village. And even Lord Chaitanya exhibited these weapons. And one time he exhibited to Lord Nityananda a six-armed form bearing the conch shell, the disc, the club, the lotus flower, and a flute. So, and then he can do all these different things. So we know that the conch shell and the dung are actually nothing but bones and stool of the living entities. But according to the Vedic conception, the conch shell is bone and cow dung is stool, but they're considered to be pure. So there's an interesting story about these different things here. Let me see. I guess we could see this one here. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't have any astra. So, but what is his astra? It's this Hari Sankirtan. That's his astra. And in Kali Yuga, there's no profit in killing the demons, he said, because they're already killed. So therefore, there's a shastra. To kill the miscreants is the Hari Sankirtan. So if they simply chant Hare Krishna, the shastra will kill all their sinful reactions of life and they'll become devotees. And we'll see Jagai Madai was a perfect example of that. So, yeah, this is the process. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can become ecstatic in love for Krishna. And this is what Lord Chaitanya gave us. So, we all have this access to the topmost region of the spiritual sky by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And simply by being engaged in Lord Chaitanya's activities of Navadvip, which is Sankirtan, the highest form of devotional service, it's a matter of distributing love of Godhead. And everybody can go back to Godhead. We can have access to Goloka Dham. Because the devotees, the saintly people, they have a vision of eternity. They see the bigger picture of reality. They don't drown in this smaller world of distress. So what's the natural expression of happiness? We begin to dance and sing. And this is what happens in the spiritual world. So here's a nice little poem, which I had some assistance, but it was by yours truly. Abandon this temporary plane, return to Godhead's bliss. Where the spiritual world does persist. Every step, a grace dance in the air. Every word, a melodic song to share. In this realm, every act is love's embrace. Water transforms to nectar, sweet in taste. Relations infused with affections divine. Reality surpassing expectations so fine. So just see, in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. Every word is a song, right? Every act is an act of love. The water is nectar. Relations are love infused. And reality exceeds our expectations. So, Lord Chaitanya's teachings and his Dham was actually lost. And he sent three special personalities. And one of them is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He actually retrieved Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And another personality was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave Lord Chaitanya's mission shape. He started the Gaudiya Math, created temples, mission. And Srila Prabhupada, he took that mission and spread it throughout the entire world. So we're so fortunate. So Srila Prabhupada is the founder, Acharya, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He created this ISKCON to continue the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Lord Chaitanya said, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is a waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. So this is ISKCON Prabhupada created. It will continue to flourish by the collective endeavor of the loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada. And we see here the chakra is worshipped and installed in one of the largest temples in the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The chakra, it's a personality and a weapon, and the Lord will destroy ignorance and protect the devotees with that. All to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So there's a nice verse. It talks about how there's five kinds of liberation: the Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Sarshti, and Sayujya. So we want to attain the... When you go to the spiritual world, you actually get the same similar form of Krishna. Just like in Vaikuntha. All the residents of Vaikuntha have a similar form of Vishnu. So in Goloka, in the spiritual world, we also have a form similar to Krishna. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. You know, who's Krishna? Who's Krishna's friends? And there's so many unlimited friends of Krishna. Unlimited cows. It's so unlimitedly. So Prabhupada writes there, there's a nice lecture he gave in New York City. And I'll end with this. So Prabhupada says, now these coward boys, they have got a cane in the hand, Vetra. And each of them has got a flute also, Vetra Venu Dala. And a lotus flower and a Shringara, a horn. Shringara Vastra, and very nicely dressed and full of ornaments, just like Krishna is dressed. Similarly, his friends, coward boys, they're also dressed in the spiritual world. And when you go, you'll not be able to understand who is Krishna and who is not Krishna. Everyone is like Krishna. Similarly, in the Vaikuntha planets, everyone is like Vishnu. That is called Sayujya Mukti. The living entities, when they enter the spiritual planets, they become as good as Krishna and Vishnu. There is no difference because it is absolute world. Here, the difference is there. The impersonalists, they cannot understand that even in individuality, there is no difference. As soon as they think of individuality, oh, they think there is a difference. Then what is liberation? Yes, and actually there is no difference. The difference is only that Krishna's personality and others' personalities, they are conscious that Krishna is our object of love. That's it. The center is Krishna. In this way, the individual boys and girls and Krishna, everyone is enjoying spiritual bliss. So here, this is the spiritual world. We're all expansions of Krishna, and we need to go back home, back to Godhead, like that. So I'll end there and ask if there are any comments or questions. Anybody? Realizations? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. Always a beautiful presentation.
Thank you.
The indirect expressions of ecstatic love for Krishna, is there any example you can give maybe for like gassiness and anger?
You want to know what the examples for gassiness and anger are?
Yeah, any like
okay.
Popular example.
So anger, there's an example when Jatila, the mother of Abhimanyu, saw Krishna wearing a necklace. She could understand that the jeweled ornament had been given to him by Radharani. And then she therefore became absorbed in anger And she began to move her eyebrows, expressing her anger and ecstatic love. And then ghastliness, there's an example by Jamunacharya, and he said, since I began to enjoy these transcendental exchanges of love, which are always newer and newer, whenever I remember the pleasure of past sex life, my lips curl and I wish to spit on the idea. This is an instance of ecstatic love and ghastliness. So devotees used to say when they would think of sex life for women, they would think they would like spit at the women. Prabhupada said, you don't spit at the women. It's like you spit at the idea of it. So then there's dread. So those are two examples. So any other examples? Other questions? Okay. Well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Hare Krishna.